ladies and gentlemen, joined now a member of one fine establishment. They are a legendary band in my eyes. It is Mr. Saul Davis of James. How are you doing?
Very, very well.
It's very, very nice to be sat down talking to you, and really excited at times as well, with a brand new album about to drop not too long now, and a very, very surprising album from what I've listened to. How great these songs actually hold up, and how it's got the resonance of the 90s sound, in my opinion. Would I be right by saying that you've gone old school and back to the roots of James?
I don't know. That's quite an interesting observation. It's one I've made myself a little bit, to some extent. I think one or two places you might be right.
Yeah.
I think there's quite a lot of new and adventurous stuff going on in it sonically, but I do know what you're talking about. I think there's a couple of songs in particular which remind me of things which maybe could have been on a kind of later 90s record. Pleased to Meet You, for example, which is a favorite record of mine actually that we made. I know what you mean. If that is the case, it wasn't certainly designed to be like that. It's just something that's kind of happened. But you might be right. I think there's an ethos maybe within the songwriting rather than the way that it actually sounds, which is perhaps reminiscent of that period. Mm-hmm. And we've made quite a direct record, I would say, although there are a couple of songs on it that are also very journey songs.
Yes.
I think that's been quite charitable. Other people would call them meandering. But anyway, whatever. there's something in that, I think. We always go into the studio, well, we always go into the writing process first off, looking to we don't have an agenda, we don't really know what we're going to do, we just make some music, right? And so where it ends up is anybody's guess, really, oftentimes. If you think it's got that flavor, then it clearly has, you know, I suppose.
It really has. And like you said, it's got some of that new style sound in it as well, especially with the drum. I'm not going to give too much away because I want people to dig this out and find out themselves, because it's a great record from what I've listened to. And it's got a bit of everything in there. And you've just mentioned, you got a few songs here, what you call follow, you know, I call them story songs, where you can just sit and get lost in the song in the moment. These songs, what are penned then for this album? Are these things what have been knocking about a while, or is it something that you and the rest of the band have got together and actually sat down and thought, right, this is what we need to be doing, let's do it?
No, it's more like that, really. There's four of us get together, wherever it might be, in different places across the country, or wherever, sometimes even abroad, if we find ourselves with a window somewhere, if we're off doing a show or whatever, and we just get together and we just jam together, and then we record everything. And then over a period of time, months, you know, whatever that might be, we've got a big body of these jams, and then we start digging into them and start making them into little listenable things. And then, you know, then it's down to Tim to come up with stuff that makes sense, right? So that's the process.
Yeah.
It's a bit haphazard, and it's not very efficient in a sense, because we do a lot more work than people will ever see.
Yeah.
Although the bonus album, the bonus version of this, or the deluxe version, let's call it, of this record, has 10 unfinished demos on it, which is our attempt. We were quite interested and we thought it was very useful to show our kind of fan, our super fans anyway.
Yeah.
That process, right? So we put the deluxe version of this record has 10 songs, which will be regarded. I mean, they're a bit messy, right? And the words aren't formed and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There's some tunes in there. But if we'd worked more on those songs, they would have ended up on the record, right? We thought, rather than just throwing all of the extant material away, on leaving it on the cutting room floor, we'd actually show people, right? So that's quite interesting. I'll be interested to see what you think about some of that stuff, because there's some real nuggets in there.
I think as well that captures the flavour of the songs and the process of them songs. And you never guess, I guess, that these songs could actually be plucked away, finished off in ways, and maybe created something for later on in the future. Is that something what you guys think about with these little clippets, you know, just dragging them and maybe adding to them for future projects?
We never really go back to anything. This is the first time, really, that we've ever done that, where we've gone, oh, look, these things are still there. They sound quite cool. Let's bang them out.
Wow.
I mean, we got close to that with our second album that we did with Eno, Wah Wah, which we recorded at the same time as Live, the album, in the early 90s. But that was very deliberately a kind of statement from us. That's not for everybody, that record. As in, it's not, you know, it's not a commercial record. So, but I think the good thing about hearing some of these little demos, anybody who takes the time and the trouble to go and listen to that stuff when it appears on Spotify will hear, they'll go, oh yeah, I can see where this would have gone. Perhaps, or, you know, I can see how this would be finished off or whatever, you know. And I think if we go to the trouble of making 80, 90, 100 bits and pieces and then people only ever hear 10, 11, 12 from it, it's a bit daft, really.
Yeah.
This is an attempt to give people the opportunity to hear a little bit more and stuff. But it's a bit of a magical process. Whilst I say it's not very efficient, it's not, because we spend a lot of time doing this and there's a relatively small amount of stuff that comes out at the end, right?
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it's a magical process and not many bands work like this, right? Mm. But normally it might be somebody sat with an acoustic guitar around a piano and construct songs more. But we've always pretty much jammed our songs in this way. So it's a different kind of way of doing it. But it hasn't harmed us. I mean, last year we won the Icon Award at the Ivor Novellas, you know. So we're doing something right.
I was just going to say, it's not harmed you at all, going from the career that you've had so far with the band and the hits and those songs that, when you dig deeper, in my opinion, are hits as well, even though they're not commercialised on airplay. You know, when you dig deep to songs, you've got your big songs, you know, your Sevens, Born of Frustration. But when you listen to songs like Ring the Bell and Later, She's a Star, you've got Big Hits, Mixtured. You are a band that just seems to come back and back and back and back. You know, I'm not going to be blowing too much smoke here, but it's a fact that James are a band what have been around and know the stuff, and a band what have been, I don't know, I don't, just become that word legendary because of the songs you've got, but also because of your performances as well live. And for some reason, the fan base of James is just so loyal and huge. Did you still expect this to be happening right now?
No, absolutely not. Because we've never really done anything by design or by, you know what I mean? Like, we never really had a plan.
Yeah.
And so we could never have planned for anything. No, I just think we would all have probably individually and perhaps collectively the idea that, you know, there would be much sooner than now, we would have hit the point where we either dried up creatively. You know, things have shelf lives, don't they?
Of course. Right?
And, you know, but the good thing about being in a band, opposed to being a footballer or something, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you get to 35, if you're lucky enough to have a career in football and you get to 35, you get to 40, you're done, aren't you?
Yeah.
Absolutely done. No chance. It's just not going to work for you, regardless of how brilliant you might have been.
Mm.
Of course, that's not the case for musicians and people who work in theatre and movies and stuff. And tell, you know what I mean? Like, those creative industries, you can keep going. And I think our culture is becoming more and more open to the idea that people can be older as well, and I think that's quite good. Because we've got a lot to teach. You know, we've still got a voice.
Yes.
And our generation, we older people, and there's two people joining our band now, Chloe and Debbie, Debbie is just 30, and Chloe's into her mid to late 30s, I'd say.
Yeah.
But they're all a lot younger than the rest of us, but they bring a bit of freshness and from an age perspective. Not as also being women as well, rather than the rest of it being moon, but that's helped to keep us fresh, I think, to some extent. But I think we're naturally optimistic people anyway. Yeah. And we love what we do. And because we've never really had a master plan, it means we can't really fail. Because we've got nothing to judge ourselves against. We only judge ourselves against ourselves, right? And that's why I think we're doing all right. I mean, we're 42 years about now in reality, right?
Yeah.
This is our 18th album. And that was pretty mental, isn't it, really? And we're doing these arena tours and we're doing all of this stuff. And, it, you know, we just got playlisted across local BBC radio. So this new track, Our World's, going to be heard by people sat in their cars and all that stuff. And, it's quite an interesting time, really, for us. I think a few years ago it was very difficult to be older and for anybody younger to take you seriously. And I think there has been a little bit of a change there. I think it has changed slightly.
It's really, really infectious how the band is with people. And from an onlooker's point of view, if you stand outside the circle and watch you guys perform, you're on about how you're older, but how great and tight you guys are on the road and on this record. But being live, how Tim's voice holds up still is incredible. And it's still obvious that you're getting lost in the music. Tim has just got this magical dance all the time. He's got a great voice. You guys just seem to be lost in your own moments. And I just think there's not really many bands what can really touch that right now, and haven't been for many years. And with this new album, would you say that this is an album that you are ready to just throw out there for these new tours what are coming up later on this year? Is it something that you're just going to plug on this album, or visit little bits and bobs through your set? It's because, blooming heck, 18 is a lot of albums, so, you know, and everything else, what's gone with it with the years. How the hell do you pick a set list for this?
I think we've got some numbers. No, it's really difficult, and it's a really good question because, first of all, you know, and I want to say thanks to you. You know, you said some very nice
things about
our band, you know. I mean, I think that's great. No, it's very gracious of you to say that. I really get that you mean it. You know, it's how you feel it. I think that's really great to hear. Mm. I would say, live, I think, is where we come to life. I think we made a very good record, and we have made some very good records, but live is where we do come to life.
Mm.
You're right about Tim. I think we'll hang up our boots when Tim can no longer deliver.
Yes.
I was just saying to someone earlier that, you know, for me to stand on the stage right next to Tim in the stage, we've just done two very big shows in Mexico, for example, last week, and we were on fire. It's the first chance we had to play some of these new songs live to people, and it went down so well, and it was insane. To be on stage together and bring them to some life, right? And I think that's how we see it, really. It's a privilege for us to work with each other. I think we recognise each other's strengths. We've been dragged backwards through all sorts of crap over the years, you know what I mean? And we've made it through everything. And so that puts us in good stead with each other. Mm. I think that's really important. You know, there's a really good, people like, again, talking about football, you know, people often talk about it's the attitude in the dressing room that will be the deciding factor in who succeeds ultimately and who doesn't, right? You know, and I think we've got that in spades in our camp. We're a very together bunch. We've not always been, but we are at the moment. I don't see it going away. In terms of our set, I mean, we have to go out. We know why people are coming to see us in this arena that we're doing. Some people are coming just to see a bunch of hits and we'll get those songs. A lot of hardcore Bones fans are coming to hear the new record, so we have to also do that, right?
Yeah.
And then there's hidden gems, you know, so that's why our shows are usually about 2 hours 15.
Yeah.
Because we recommend people are coming, you know, they're spending a lot of money to come and see us.
Yeah.
And we've got to do a Belgium show, right? And we've got to give a bit of everything to everybody. It's almost an impossible job, but we have to give it a shot. We've got, you know, Razor Light are opening up for us on this tour, and they're fantastic. And I think that's 45 minutes of a real blast of up, kind of, you know, that will get everybody right.
Yeah.
Wound up and really cool. It's a great, a combination of bands, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think, it's not easy to put a set list together. We've got to be brave when we do it, and we always are, you know. And especially when you get into the very big venues, you think, oh, should we play less new songs off the album? And you go, well, hang on a minute. You know, we're releasing it on April the 12th. By the time we get into these arenas into June, mid-June, everybody who wants to have heard it will have heard it, right? So there will be some familiarity with the song. So they're not straight off the bat brand new tunes and no one's heard. There will be some familiarity, which is really good. People already have fan favourites, you know, and people will be, as always, shouting out the tunes of the new record. But there's always people shouting out the mad mental B-sides from 1982 that we don't have to play anymore as well, right?
Yeah,
so we've just got to manage all of those expectations. It's very difficult to do.
Yeah.
But I think we get it right, really, to some extent or other, because I never see glum faces leaving an arena, right?
No.
And, you know, what we've not done and what we will never do and what we must not do, I mean, unless we deliberately go and do it for a particular reason, which would be, oh, let's, and we've done it once in our career, is where we just go and play all the hit records by them in one set.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to do that, just to see what the vibe is. We actually, 2 years ago in Edinburgh, for a very specific reason, but we were redoing the set list from a late 90s gig that we did at Barrowlands, and it was kind of a rework of that gig. So we just played exactly the same thing. And at that point, we were supporting the Greatest Hits album, so we just played all the Greatest Hits, right? So that's how we did it. I would like to, at some point, just go out and play like bang, you know, here's 20 belters that everybody knows.
Yes.
But we've never done that, really. And I don't think we should yet at all. I think it would be the death of us. I think it's the death of a lot of bands. They feel compelled to play the songs that everybody knows. And I think that's a big mistake. You have to leave people wanting a little bit more as well. You
Absolutely.
Know? But at the same time, we're not stupid. We know that people want to hear Sit Down. It means a lot to them, right?
Yeah.
We know that people have grown up with that song, and we know that it's not just that they like it. It might be that it's really important to some people, right, in their own lives. And as we get older, we become more adept at understanding that connection. You know, we have people come up to us who've got lyrics tattooed on them.
Yeah.
Right? That's important, right, for people. So our job is to honour that importance and make sure that they feel that we hear them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So getting that right is really, really hard. We need to do what The Cure do, just play 3.5 hours, but Tim would be dead.
Yeah, he's a showman as well. And people that have never seen the band before, this is where I'm going to go left field, and they want to know what music's about. And I say it again, you go and watch James, because you've got a feel-good factor. You've got songs what you get lost in. You've got songs what can make you cry, but then you've got this energetic band will get lost in the moment, and you just can't take your eyes off the band and Tim. And to me, what you get is everything that you pay for with this band, you know. And I think that is a quality, once again, that not many bands get. And in my opinion, if they don't know who James are by now, they could probably will know who James is if you mention certain songs like you've mentioned. Go and dig deeper and look at them hidden gems. And I think it's fantastic. This album, you know, I think it is really, really up there, and I can't wait to see the response. I've got feelings this album will be, you know, quite a good response album, you know, probably a little bit better than a good response. I think it's absolutely fantastic, and I can't wait to see what happens live and how you mix it up. Just a quick one. Are you perfectionists on the road? Are you a band that needs to be perfect, or do you not care if it's loose? What is it? Because, you know, I don't understand my bands, how they go about this anymore.
We need to be loose. So we are perfectionists, right? As in we're certain stuff that needs to happen. So we feel like we can do what we've got to get up there and do. And that goes back to what you've just been saying about giving people everything we've got, right? Because we are going to touch on a lot of different emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to have a conversation in a way. It sounds a bit artificial, but we are going to have a conversation with our audience, right? We're up there for 2 hours, 2 hours 15, right? And we are going to go through a whole gamut of different emotions. You know, music is a vehicle for different emotions, isn't it? Music's the one thing you can do. Football does it as well. But music can make you sad. It can make you cry and scream and be happy. It can, you know what I mean? It's there with you in your most intimate moments, and it's there with you in the biggest celebration moments that are collected, right? You know what I mean? So for me, music is a high point, one of the high points of what a human being can do and create. Right. And we create a lot of it in the moment. So a James show is never the same twice. But to do that, and to do it well, and to do it so that people go, no, I want to go back and see more of that, and to give people that value that we know we need to give people, right?
Yeah.
There's certain things need to work. Once we've got that working, we can go anywhere and we can do anything we want. You know, and that means taking liberties with some of the songs. We can elongate sections, we can speed stuff up, we can do whatever. We can go, stop this, this is shite, let's do another thing. All right, fair enough. You know what I mean? You've alluded to it there a couple of times. There are no bands that I know out there at the moment who do that anymore. It was a lot more common, you know, and there were some great bands that lots of people know about who were much more. That's how that going on stage meant to them, you know. But that's been beaten out of most of us, you know. The machine of the industry and all the rest of it demands that you don't do that, and every show needs to be exactly the same. And that's because the shows are developed in a certain way. They're very technological now. Everybody wants to go and see the dancing and the stuff and all that. So it has to be clockwork. It has to work like clockwork. Every single night needs to be the same, because that's how it works, right?
Yeah.
Or it's like going to the back end or something. You're going to see a performance. With us, it's very different. you know, and you will have seen, it sounds like you've seen several of these bar shows, and you'll see how they sway, and you know, we're not like that. But we are perfectionists in the sense that we need it to work, right? Whatever that means. Even if there's a mess up or there's a problem, as long as we can get out of it, then to us that's a good thing to win, you know. Again, I talk about football in this respect, football by that, right? With all the best training and planning and analysis and all the rest of it, the best football manager in the world, let's say that's, you know, Brendan Rodgers at Celtic. Right? It's not, let's just imagine it was. Let's be sensible, it's Guardiola. We've got Douglas, regardless of everything that we've done, he knows of a shot coming someday. No, they certainly don't. And then, you know, and so you see, and I see us a bit like that. We do a lot of really good prep, but on the day we don't quite know what's going to happen. And it's magical, that.
Yeah.
And that's where the spark comes from. And that's why people walk out of John's Gig with massive grins on their faces.
No, it's great. It's a great way to end it. It really is. And again, Yummy, what a great album it is. I've listened to it and I've had it on a few times. I can't wait to see the reaction. I just appreciate you sitting down, Sol, and talking about this and opening up about it all.
No, it's been a really nice chat. I really appreciate it. I'm in the middle today of talking to quite a lot of people about this record. And actually, what I'm finding is I'm quite adept at knowing when people are telling me the truth. So when the Galas guy told me it was shite, I really understood that he meant it. No, it's a joke. He didn't. So he was all over it. He loved it. No, but what I'm feeling is quite a lot of a lot of love for this record. And actually, like you have as well, and again, I want to thank you for that, a lot of love for the band, actually. And maybe you were just entering a period where the band is viewed just in, you know, because we've been around long enough. I mean, that's a good thing or it's a bad thing, right? 42 years in this business is hardcore. That, you know, that's chews and spits out most people, right? They long go to and just go, no, I'm done with that. We haven't obviously done that. This, as we touched on, this is our 18th record. This will not be our last record either. So, you know, we're talking already about doing some more writing sessions for the next one, right?
No, I love it.
You know, it's, but you've said some very interesting things from almost from a fan perspective, let's say, to an extent. You've given me a very good vision of what it might be like. Some of the things that we would like to think we had within our armory, you've touched upon that, and that's very good. You know, it's good to know. We're doing a good job, I think. It was very nice to hear you say that. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, check it out. Some great tunes on there. Hit them on the live show. It is Mr. Sol Davis of the legendary band James.